to take a ride. Grab your coffee and strap yourself in, because the show is about to begin. From the front lines of America, Babylon, and transmitting worldwide on the internet and satellite, you are listening to Omega Man Radio Network with Shannon Davis.
All right, folks, that time has arrived. It's an honor to be here with Pastor Lou Young. Brother Lou, would you like to open us up in prayer?
Yes, sir, I would. Lord, Father, God, we bless your holy name. Thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord. Wow, the technology that we have to broadcast around the globe, a global ministry to reach into those deep, dark places that even Christians fear to tread. And maybe even angels fear to tread. I don't know. But Lord, we are going to preach your gospel to the brokenhearted, to the sick, to those with demons that need to be set free, touched with the healing, and break down every lie. Ask you to anoint this teaching tonight, and I ask you to bless Shannon and his family and protect him. Also ask you to enlarge his tent stakes and pour into his barns, his blessings that he cannot contain, and continue to allow us to preach the gospel while it is day. Lord, let us make hay while the sun shines, as they say. In Jesus' name we thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Folks, get a friend to tune in. Always an honor to be here with Pastor Lou and Suni. And Brother Lou, we've got an hour tonight, so I'm throwing the mic over to you. Take it away.
All right, thank you. So I've got a teaching made up, hot off the press. And I know you text me about some dates. I have been doing other stuff, but I will get those out here in the next few days to you for May. And
perfect.
Yeah, so, yeah. WhiteHorseOutreach.com is a ministry. If you need to get a hold of me, WhiteHorseOutreach@Yahoo.com is the email. WhiteHorseOutreach@Yahoo.com. Connected with Prophecy Club. Connected with Leslie Johnson, Train the Prophets. Connected with Spirit of Prophecy Church, Plano, Texas. We can give you the address later on in the broadcast. So tonight, the title of this message is work, W-O-R-K, work. Is it a dirty word? You know, it's a four-letter word, and some of those four-letter words are dirty words. I hear plenty of them out in the workplace, but, you know, in America, we're spoiled rotten, and, you know, I grew up on the farm. I grew up working, worked hard, nothing wrong with hard work. But we still have some hard workers in America and around the world. Thank you, Jesus. And we have some that don't want to work at all. Not biblical, in my opinion. So I want to say tonight, brothers and sisters, the Lord has a lot to say about work in the scriptures. And I looked it up in the King James 1611 version. If you look for the word work, 380 instances. So, yes, the Lord has plenty to say about it. And I want to start out here tonight with a scripture in Genesis 2:15. It says, "And the Lord God took the man, Adam, and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Dress it and to keep it means he had a job. The Lord God gave Adam a job to dress and keep the garden. So, you know, I don't know what it was like back then. But I don't know if they had weeds or not, but, you know, I grow a garden. I got a lot of stuff growing right now because we've had lots of rain and it's spring here in Texas. And, man, I got everything coming up looking good. The raised beds are full. So, but if I don't pay attention to it, there'll be weeds come into it. So we have to dress our garden and we have to keep it, and sometimes we have to spray some bug killer on there because the curse is still active. The bugs come out, and of course we pray over the garden first, but then sometimes, and we try to use The food is non-GMO. I don't have any GMO food growing here. It's God's food made like he made it in the beginning. And then we try to use not the heavy pesticides that wind up in her blood. So baking soda and vinegar and things like that. But yeah, we got to dress it and keep it even today. But that's what the Lord God told Adam, you know, go to work. And he left us a pattern to follow. So we're going to start out here with this scripture in Titus about the pattern. In Titus 2, verse 7 and 8, it says, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity." Verse 8, "Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part," that would be an unbeliever, or we would call him a Gentile, "may be ashamed." Let me read that again. "Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Now this is a pattern from Titus 2, 7 and 8. "In all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works." So we're supposed to have a good work pattern, amen? And sound speech. And, you know, I'm a handyman now, and I work almost exclusively by myself because I'm 68 years old. you know, I don't pray for patience anymore because it says with the patience comes the testing of your character that you may gain patience. So I don't pray for patience anymore. I am impatient in a lot of ways, and I've gotten better in that. But sound speech, let's talk about that. So as a construction man, I've been here in Texas about 13 years. And before I came here, I ran crews in as a construction man building decks onto new houses and had several contracts that, I mean, that was our job. We'd bring in the wood, dig the holes, put up the post, beam, joist, deck it, handrail, stairs, done, and on to the next one. And, of course, I had two or three crews going at the same time. And the people that I had to work with, they weren't Christians, most of them. If they were what you would call lukewarm. They didn't really care if school kept or not. You know, they just, you know, Sunday, go to church if they felt like it, if they didn't have a party or a fishing invite. So they're just lukewarm Christians. But their speech, oh my goodness, cussing, drinking, smoking, gambling, that's what you heard all week long. And, of course, they knew, you know, even back then, even back then, with my cell phone, people would call me, I need prayer. And I'd say, yes, take over. I'm going to go sit in the truck. And I would sometimes be there for an hour, hour and a half. And we'd do a deliverance session. I would, right on the job site, in my pickup truck, on a work day. And I did that many days. They saw that. And they periodically would ask me something about, you know, scripture or the God or some preacher they saw on TV, but they were never really, you know, they just weren't into it. They weren't saved. And so their speech. And so this scripture is talking about sound speech. And I know a lot of people, they, you know, I mean, when you're in deliverance and as a minister, they come to you, you know, I don't like my job or I'm having problems. People are saying bad things about me. But this particular scripture says, have sound speech that cannot be condemned. Cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary, which is an unbeliever, may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. And even if they do say something evil or lie about you, you should have such a reputation on the job site that the boss will go, you know, that cannot be true. This guy is a, or this girl is a good person. I've never heard them, you know, they just aren't going to be able to swallow that pill. Okay, that's my take on this, Titus 2, 7 and 8. That's a good memory scripture, brothers and sisters. Now, that talks about a pattern. And when it comes to, you know, discipline and training, we need a pattern. This is another one. This is a really good memory scripture. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 7 through 11. A few more extra verses here, but we'll start out here. It says, "For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us." So this is a pattern. They are, and this is the way I do it. I probably should talk a little bit more on the job site if I have, you know, once in a while I'll have somebody come alongside of me to help, mostly to carry tools, unload and reload and hand me things and do the grunt work. But I don't do a lot of talking. I probably should explain more, but I just expect them to, you know, as they say, sit down, shut up, and do as you're told. Sometimes I just say, we're going to go put in a door, and I don't have the patience to explain all the procedures. I just, you know, when I need something, I say, hand me a hammer, you know, get me a tape measure, bring the sawhorses over here, you know, lay this down over here, clean up the trash. And so that's kind of how I do these things. But this says that this is the pattern. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. So be followers. And, you know, one thing that I love what SUNY did when we came down here to Texas, and the Lord sent us specifically to Spirit of Prophecy Church to Stan and Leslie Johnson. She said, who's going to be our mentor? You know, we do submit to, you know, leadership. And a lot of people are lone rangers out there. You're not submitting. That's, you're doing it wrong, and your ministry is going to suffer. And if you're not in ministry, you need to submit, even if you're in church. And not in ministry, you're still a part of the body of Christ. Submit to your leadership. Anyway, if I can get through this. 2 Thessalonians 3, 7. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. If you have a bad work ethic, I'm going to tell you, you're disorderly. Verse 8, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught or for nothing, as we would say it, but wrought with labor and travail night and day. That means that they worked, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. In other words, they didn't show up and ask for a handout. They paid their own way. Amen. Verse 9, not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Here we are again. We're seeing, you know, they're saying, look at me, emulate us. I'm showing you how it's supposed to be done. Follow us. I'm your example. Now, you in leadership or ministry, you should be an example. And if you are not a leader, but you want to be one, you will know when you are one, because you will have people follow you. If you have no followers, that means you're not a leader yet. But you can be trained. As Shannon says, tune in for training and equipping. The war on the saints is coming. Learn how to fight and win. That's what I'm talking about. Verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you. See, they're saying, this is not Jesus talking, this is Paul. He says, we command you that if any would not work, neither should you eat. Now, you know, in America, we have plenty of food most of the time. I'm sure there's a few people that go to bed hungry here and there, but, I mean, America's blessed, even now. And I can honestly say I've never, ever really been hungry. I mean, you know, people go, are you hungry? And we say, yes, I'm starving to death. Well, not really, you know. I can tell you from fasting for 40 days, the hunger goes away. The hunger returns after 40 days. So, you know, in America, we really don't know what hunger is. But this scripture is a hard scripture. And that's a scripture where you say, if you don't work, you don't eat. You know, we are Christians. God said this. God, this is God's word. We're supposed to work and pay our own way. And if you work, you eat. If you don't, you starve. It's like this. If you have never, ever done door-to-door sales, You should try it for at least a week or two because it will open your eyes. And, of course, most people aren't cut out for that because it's rejection and you have to close the deal. Because if you sell, you will eat. And if you don't, you will starve. And a good salesman, you can put him in an airplane, parachute him out anywhere over America. He'll hit the ground running. And he'll make things happen, and he'll start closing deals. He'll make sales. He'll get the order, sign on the dotted line, and he'll start making money. And a good salesman will put many, many, many people to work because he's bringing in the orders. But that's what you're going to find out, what you're made out of. And I'm really joking when I say that because most people aren't cut out for door-to-door sales. It's survival of the fittest, as you might say. Verse 11, onward here about the pattern. It says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. See, the Lord calls you a busybody. You know, so take that and put that in your pipe and smoke it, as they say, or whatever. Disorderly. If you do not work hard, I'm just going to say, I touch and agree with the Bible, you're disorderly, you're unorganized, disorderly. New Living Translation, same verse, yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. You know, sometimes I got to tell you, I got a Nextdoor app here on my computer. It's a neighborhood app. Oh, my goodness, you should see the grumbling and complaining. It's from, you know, people leaf blowing and someone's yard, to the traffic, to, I mean, it's, you talk about grumbling and complaining. You know, I post things on there like I've got some chickens and turkeys and guineas for sale. Come buy my stuff, but I use it for a sales platform. But other people use it for a grumbling and complaining platform. But this says idle lives. You know, this is not scriptural, but it says an idle mind is the devil's workshop. You know, we got to keep not only our hands busy, but our mind busy. And we have to pull down the strongholds that sets us up against the knowledge of God and take those thoughts captive. So we got to keep our mind busy. And we got to keep our hands busy. And I'm just going to tell you, nowadays, most people, you take their cell phone away from you, they're going to have a meltdown. They are going to have a conniption fit because they can't do anything without looking at their cell phone. I see them on the highway driving and texting. And who knows what they're doing, but it's dangerous. Don't do that. What I'm trying to tell you is, most people spend way too much time on social media. It's a waste of time, I assure you. It's okay to look at a few things here and there. You know, Omega Man, YouTube, there's some good things out there. I get my news from, you know, YouTube and Omega Man and things like that. But I'm not playing, posting on, you know, I think you know where I'm going with this. Okay, that's enough of that. Okay. Here's, to me, kind of an excuse, and you may think I'm stepping on some toes here, but I hear people say, I prayed, and now I'm waiting on God. That's good that you prayed, and it's good to wait on God. But let me ask you, brothers and sisters, what are you doing while you are waiting on God? What are you doing? I got a great testimony, several testimonies about, you know, God has taught me so much. Even in, I'm still learning. He's still teaching me things. I hear his voice, and he corrects me and guides me and gives me revelation. But when I came from Iowa to Texas, I sent out some resumes. You know, I've ran three crews. I'm a contractor. I'd be willing to come down here and work for the builders. I sent out probably 10 resumes to builders. I didn't even get one call. I thought, well, okay, no problem. I'll come down here. I took a job at Lowe's, and it was pretty much minimum wage. At that time, I think it was $9 and some change. Anyway, full-time working. Hadn't been there for 3 weeks. They fired me. And they fired me because I was temporary summer help and summer was over. So, you know, I could have reapplied and went back to HR and had my job back as a full-time, but I was temp summer. They fired me. I went home. And this is a lesson I learned. I'm going, Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. But you know what? Satan didn't fire me. God had me fired. He set me up. And the next job I got, I was working for a handyman company. I'm not going to tell you the name, but I got double pay. And I did that for about a year. In the meantime, I was handing out business cards, whatnot. And eventually the phone started ringing. People started coming. And so then now I'm back to owning my own business like I have for most of my life, working for myself. You know, of course, I got another raise. So I prayed. Now I'm waiting on God. My question to you, brothers and sisters, is what are you doing? Why are you waiting? Are you waiting for God? As I say, are you waiting for the Lord just to drop a golden brick on your head, a gigantic blessing? Just, you know, I'm waiting for him to open the door. Well, you know, we got to go to work. My second wonderful testimony. Wow, I feel the presence of God right now. My second wonderful testimony is when I met Albert Chang, my Cambodian friend, that we are going to June to Cambodia again the second time. Me and Suni wanted to support some missions, specifically an orphanage, which we do. It came to pass. So I prayed, and I don't know. I prayed quite a bit, actually. And nothing seemed to be happening. So, you know, one day, you know, I just happened to go on Facebook, Googling Cambodia, and I see this thing that says, Hands for Cambodia. And I saw this guy's name, Albert Chang. So it had an address, and I wrote that down. It was in Plano, Texas. So in my drivings around doing my handyman work on my stops. One day I was in Plano. I thought, hey, I'm close to this place. I'll drive by and I'll meet this guy. So I drive by, I find the church, walk in. I go, where's your Cambodia pastor's office? They go, we don't have no Cambodia pastor's office here. I go, well, it's on your website. What is it? And they go, no, that was closed down years ago. So back to square one. I think that's weird. I go back to Facebook. I look up Albert Chang, punch him in. I find his Facebook page. I think I'll message him. I message him, give him my phone number. The guy called back. Like 2 minutes, this is Albert Chang. What can I do for you? And the rest is history. So, you know, the Lord had his hand on that thing, but I just did, you know, I prayed, but I didn't just sit around and wait for God to make the connection, because if I would have, I'd have probably never met Albert. But I'm telling you, God had his hand on that. So if you pray and wait, make sure you're doing something, you know, give the Lord space to move. But after a while, if nothing's happening, you got to get up and put one foot in front of the other, brothers and sisters. You got to work. You got to start. You got to believe that whatever you're doing, the Lord is going to direct your steps. Amen. Here is another scripture that I like, Psalms 37:25. It says, I have been young and now am old. And I'm not talking about myself because I feel like a youngster. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now, I know that there's homeless people in America, and I know that things don't always work out the way we want, but I see plenty of them at the sign, you know, help, need food, God bless, that type of stuff. And sometimes, you know, I throw some money out the window at them, not at them, but I give them money sometimes, and we have them come into the church and we give them money and say, don't come back unless you want to be a part of the congregation and we will help you. But most of them, I don't see them again. They just want a handout. They don't want to connect with God. But this scripture says the key to this is righteousness. Righteousness. Learn God's word. keep his commandments, walk holy before the Lord, stop sinning, which means it's a process. You get sanctification, which takes time to crucify the flesh and kill the old man. And if you're righteous, you will not have to beg bread. The Lord will, as I say, he'll back you up. He'll show up. He'll pay your bills. And that doesn't mean he's obligated to pay a hot check, but, you know, he'll give you what you need, not necessarily what you want, but he will take care of you. Amen. So I have heard many excuses, and one of them is I do not want to make a mistake. Well, I learned when I was a kid, you know, my dad never really, you know, he wasn't spiritual. We didn't go to church. But he had some wisdom, and he said, if you never make a mistake, you've never done anything. So Dad had no problem with me making mistakes. He just wanted me to try. And if I made a mistake, then you would learn. Don't do that again, right? Do it different. Try. The fact is he wanted me to try, continue to try. And that, I think that's good advice. And I know a lot of people, they're waiting for ministry, and they think, well, or they're waiting to get married, or they're waiting to have a baby. And, you know, if it's fear-based. It's fear-based, and fear is a spirit. Fear is a spirit that we must overcome. So what am I saying to you, brothers and sisters? Don't be afraid to make a mistake. We're all human. We all make mistakes, but realize they're learning experiences, and sometimes they're opportunities. So don't be afraid. Fear is our enemy. I have a slide here that says note to self. Now, I see a lot of believers that take the devil's side. They step over to his camp. Beating yourself up for your flaws and mistakes won't make you perfect. And I will add that you don't have to be. You don't have to be perfect. You know, we serve the one who is perfect, and he made a way for us. He has given us grace, so we don't have to be perfect. Doesn't mean we're not supposed to try to be perfect, but you don't have to be a perfectionist, because you are never going to be perfect until we get to the other side. But we can try the best we can. In other words, I'm saying do the best you can. But don't beat yourself up. I hear believers say, oh man, I'm so stupid. I do that every time. Well, you know, that sounds like Satan, the accuser of the brethren. Don't step into his camp and agree with him. He is the father of lies. And so many believers accept these lies. They go, you agreed with Satan. No, I didn't. I go, well, sure you did. You don't believe you can get healed. Well, God could heal me if I want. So today I heard I can't get healed from the sickness because God gave me a thorn in the flesh. I go, oh, come on. You know how many times they call me up, Pastor Lou, I'm just beat down. I'm just like Job. I go, shut up. You're not just like Job, you know. I mean, they think they're Job. Not true. Your life isn't that bad. It cannot be that bad. So this person was saying, I can't get healed because God gave me a thorn in the flesh. I go, let's look at the scripture. It clearly says that they sent Satan was sent as a messenger to buffet Paul, a thorn in the flesh. The thorn in the flesh is Satan, one of his messengers. It's a demon. And don't you know, brothers and sisters, we have power and authority over demons. We have power and authority over serpents and scorpions. That's the demons, his sickness, his flaws. The curse has been broken. That we can be free from the curse of the law. We can be healthy. The Hebrews went through the wilderness, none sick. Their clothes didn't wear out. They ate manna from heaven, drank from a rock. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He changes not. You know, we've been lied to. I'm sorry, but, you know, we've been lied to, and a lot of Christians don't read their Bible. They let the pastor feed them, and if the pastor doesn't believe in healing, well, then you're going to be sick because, you know, he's teaching you that you can't get well. And the book I read, I was talking to this person today. I said, you know, I'm not like the normal believer, you know. And she goes, where did you learn that stuff? I said, well, certainly not in church. I said, I got it from reading the Bible and praying in revelation from God. And I said, did not Jesus in the synagogue teach? And they said, what astounding doctrine is this? They never heard it taught that way. I said, I teach in authority. I teach healing. I teach deliverance. I teach miracles. I teach divine health. I teach God's word. You just never heard it that way. And I said to this person, I said, I'm going to build your faith. And when your faith is strong enough, we're going to come over and do it God's way. We're going to call for the elders of the church, anoint you with oil, lay hands on you. Pray the prayer of faith, and you are not going to be sick anymore. You're going to die healthy, just like my mother-in-law died healthy. She was strong, not sick, but she just laid down one night and went to sleep and never woke up, nice and peaceful. And we can all do that, but you're not going to do that if you think that when you get old, sickness is coming on you because you get old. You know, I'm old. I mean, I'm 68. I don't feel old. I look old. And most people think I'm old, but they should come with me on a mission trip and load up a bunch of food on your back and go up the mountains and start going door to door. You know, well, by the end of the day, we'll see who's, you know, got full of energy and who's got their tongue hanging out ready for bed. I can tell you it ain't going to be this guy, because I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So don't go to the devil's camp and agree with him that you're busted and disgusted and poor and helpless and desperate. Believe what the word says about you, that you're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I hope that I'm connecting with somebody out there, brothers and sisters. Let me say this. Learn to forgive yourself. And remember, we all struggle. Do I struggle? Yes, I do. I still struggle. But I know that all I have to do is reach up and touch my big brother Jesus' hand, and he's going to fight for me. We're going to go through it together. Amen. What this means is we're all human. It just means we're human. We have this flesh body. Yeah, the flesh body is weak. I agree with that. But inside, we got a spirit, and it don't have to be sick. It can be sick. You know, a lot of people think your spirit man can't be sick, but the scripture doesn't bear witness to that, because the scripture says a wounded spirit, who can bear? So yes, brothers and sisters, you can have a demon in your spirit man, because when you get saved, your whole spirit man doesn't get saved like you've been taught. It's your heart. The Lord looks at your heart. A portion of your spirit man gets saved. So you can have a sick spirit, a wounded spirit, and it needs healing. It needs deliverance. Your spirit needs healing. Your spirit needs deliverance many times. Your mind, will, and emotion, that's your soul, that needs healing and deliverance in your body. And if you got, as they say, stinking thinking or wrong thinking, you believed a lie, you believe that when you get old, you're going to be sick. Well, when you get old, guess what's going to happen to you? You know, I don't believe that way. I want to, you know how I want to die, Shannon? I want to die just like Smith Wigglesworth did. I want to be preaching the gospel with fire and brimstone, stand behind a pulpit and fall dead before the Lord on right when I say, and that's my message for today, brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
That'd be a great way to go. I'm not going to go out sick in a hospital with tubes and pipes and stuff and poking and cutting on me. Anybody that thinks that, you can have it all, because that's not the way I'm going out. I refuse to accept that in Jesus' name. Okay, moving right along. Mark 12:31. Okay, so I said, learn to forgive yourself. Now, this is a really important scripture. It says, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. The first one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, will, and soul. And so I ask people, do you love your neighbors yourself? And most of them say yes. Sometimes I got unforgiveness. Well, we deal with that. But I go, do you love yourself? And you know what I've come to find out? A lot of people don't like their self. They despise their self. And you can tell it when they talk, you know. They're saying, like, I can't believe I was so stupid, or I can never do anything right, or this happens to me all the time, and it's all bad. You know, like every spring or every winter I come down with a cold, or every summer I come down with hay fever. I'm going, like, why are you continuing to step over to the other side and agree with the accuser of the brethren? Why not step over to the side you're supposed to be a believer in and start confessing God's word that I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hay fever is a weapon against you, if that's what you have, or any sickness. I'll just tell you, any sickness it's called a spirit of infirmity. You know, it could be a headache, could be athlete's foot, could be, you know, an STD, it could be, something wrong with your mind, insanity, suicide, whatever. It's a spirit of infirmity. It's a sickness that you're not supposed to have as a believer. Amen. And if that's you, you need to call Omega Man Saturday night, and they'll cast them demons out, and they'll teach you God's word. They'll build your faith. You can get set free, and you can have freedom. You can be at peace. Amen. Amen. So love your neighbors, you love yourself. This scripture says you're supposed to love yourself. It's not a sin to love yourself. And some people might love themselves, but some people don't like themselves, and some people actually hate themselves. And what that does to you, it triggers. If you do that for years on end, you beat yourself up and tell yourself you're worthless and no good and you never amount to anything, your body will begin to react to those thoughts and feelings, because your soul is damaged and your hormones will start acting up. Your pancreas will start insulin resistance. You'll get diabetes. You'll have heart disease, high blood pressure, all kinds of things. You'll begin to have sickness in your body. And this is such a simple basic. This is like Christianity 101, if I can explain it that right. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's not a sin to love yourself. And I'll tell you something else, brothers and sisters. You don't have to be super Christian and walk around like all high and mighty, like, I'm so good. You know, you don't do that. Just be yourself. You know, laugh. Smell the coffee, as they say. Smell the roses. Take time to smell the roses. You know, our life is not... you know, it says go in the narrow gate, but yet we have freedom. We have freedom in Christ. We can laugh and play and have fun. You know, not like the world does. We don't have to go to the strip clubs and the bars and smoke weed and take dope to get high. We can have the Holy Ghost. Be not drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, we can see these things in the land of the living, health and love in our hearts and peace in our life, and we can prosper. So... there you go. Mark 12:31. That is a good memory scripture. And when I say memory, you know, sometimes you have to repeat these things over and over for many days. It's not a long scripture. Okay, here's moving ahead. I have written down here, poor excuse. I'm trusting God to pay my bills. And so you open up the mailbox and you got a handful of overdue, you know, remit, late payment, pink slips. Yeah, you're trusting God, but, you know, how's that working for you? What I'm telling you is, brothers and sisters, it's okay to pray, and we should pray. And it's okay to trust God, and we should trust God. And it's okay to have faith, and we should have faith. But we can't just sit on our lees. I heard that word from a brother was on your show the other day. Can't think of his name, from Kansas City. Awesome teaching about fill your cup or something, I believe.
Doug Perry.
Don't sit on your lees. Shannon?
Doug Perry. Yes, sir.
Doug Perry. Yeah. Yeah. He had a Zoom meeting. I sat in on that. Awesome. I love that he thinks like I do. He's a like-minded brother and sister. I love him. He said, get off your lees. Well, I say, get off your blessed assurance. You know, his is scripture. Mine is not. But you know what? Get up and do something. You know, you still need to suit up. We say there's no bench setting on the kingdom of God. Everybody gets to play. You're supposed to be out there doing the stuff. And one of the things you're supposed to be doing is W-O-R-K. You go to work. And I'm not just talking about working for the kingdom of God. Yes, we work for God. But you have to have a J-O-B. You know, if you got bills and a mortgage and if you want to have a wife, they like to have money to buy food and a roof over the head. It takes M-O-N-E-Y, so you need a J-O-B. You need to suit up. We're talking about working in the natural and then working in the spirit. You know, it goes hand in hand. I hope I'm making sense out there, brothers and sisters. Let's look at this. Deuteronomy 1:8. Behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. It says go in and possess. That means go in and take it. And you know what they were supposed to do? It doesn't mean like, well, the Lord said I could have it, so just hand it over, give it to me. No, it means go in there and take it by force. How is that going to happen? It means you pull out your sword and you cut the head off the giant. Well, you're going to cut the head off the giant so he won't resurrect, because these were spiritual, supernatural beasts. They weren't just, you know, tall people with big bodies that like to do evil things. They were supernatural spirits. These are all spirits, the Anakites and the Anakims and all the ites, the mosquito bites, all the ites. So go and possess the land. It means go in there and take it by force. Wipe these evil spirits out and take your land. You know, the Lord said, you know, suit up. Go in and fight. I'll go with you, but you have to go in and fight. And they did. They went into Jericho and they took that place down. The Lord did it for them, but they went and the Lord gave them a battle plan. They followed the battle plan, and when they blew the trumpets, the walls came down. But then they went to Ai and they got their behind kicked because there was sin in the camp, and that's what happens. So you got to stay clean and fight. And if you're doing it right, you will know because you are winning. And if you're doing it wrong, well, check out something, look for some sin, number one, and if you find it, repent. So it says, go in and possess the land that I swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, unto them I will give the seed. And you're going, well, I'm not a seed of Abraham, but you know, I'm telling you, are a seed of Abraham. Well, I'm not a Jew. Yep, you don't have to be. You know, the Jews call me a Gentile, but I don't. That's what they call me. I don't see myself as a Gentile, and I don't see myself as a Jew, but I see myself grafted in. I'm a wild branch. I belong to the kingdom of heaven. I got the seal of God on my forehead. You can't see it, but it's there in the spirit. All the demons can see it. Jesus can see it. It's there. I'm grafted in. I know I'm in Christ, and you know, and I'm not trying to be a Jew. I'm just being myself, having fun. I'm free in Christ. And you can do the same, brothers and sisters. You can know that you are. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that you have power and authority over all darkness in Jesus' name. Okay. Why did I put that scripture? Oh, I'm going to tell you a little story here. So, a man said to a farmer, the Lord has blessed you with a beautiful farm. And you can't see it here, but I got a picture of a beautiful farm. There's wheat, fruit trees, all nice and pretty. I don't see a weed anywhere. Nice house, fences, looks beautiful. Anybody be proud to have a farm like that? Well, the farmer said back to the man, you should have seen it when the Lord had it all to himself. And this is true, brothers and sisters. This is another testimony in my life. But now I'm looking at another picture. I see a rusted out empty stock tank, a water tank, a busted down house, busted down fences, weeds everywhere. I don't see anything that looks like a crop that would be worth, it's a worthless piece of property. I mean, it's just a piece of land. Everything's broken down. And when we bought our house here, see, I lived in the city in a little town. It's a big town, a suburb of Dallas. It's Flower Mound. We lived in the city. We sold that house when my father passed away and moved out here to little old Nevada, Texas, out in the country. And I only have an acre here, but you should have seen this place. Brambles, brambles everywhere. Overgrown grass, wood piles, grass a foot tall. And we've been here, what, 13 years now? And I've got seven, something like that, little barns and chicken coops that I keep my critters in. We got raised beds all over. I got a fence, a new good-looking fence, straight, solid, keep my goats in the front yard with a wonderful goat barn. And in the backyard, I got all these raised beds. We're growing all of our food and fruit trees, and I got chickens and ducks and turkeys and quail. I mean, we got it going on out here, and it looks beautiful. People come by and go, how long you lived here? You know, this is awesome. This is wonderful. You done? Yeah, we did a lot of work, but you should have seen this. I can say, you should have seen this place when God had it all to himself. It was an overgrown disaster. And I didn't get it cleaned up in one heartbeat either. It took years. And, you know, I still out doing stuff. We put a roof on the house a month ago. I'm always fixing the gates because they stop working and boards fall off the fence. I have to replace them. But, you know, it takes work to keep this stuff going. So I'm going to give you a tip about work. And tip number one, this irritates me about people more than almost anything, is be on time. You know, a Christian shouldn't be late. And we all run around and go like, God's never late. He's always on time. Well, you know what? We should adopt that in our own life. It's better to be, you know, Suni, she likes to cut things really close to the wire. Me, I like to get there 20, 30 minutes ahead of time and walk right in and sit on the front row because that's where the anointing is. That's where all the action is, right up in the front row, right in front of the pulpit. So I can get the anointing and the message. You know, I'm not going to be in the back row sleeping, playing on my cell phone like I see so many people in church today. But the point I'm trying to make, be on time. And that goes for your job, and it also goes for church. You know, if you got to drive an hour to church, you know, we drive 47 minutes with no traffic and more like 50. And so, you know, these people that live, you know, 2 miles from the church and they walk in late, I have absolutely no sympathy. I wouldn't have any sympathy for them anyway, but because I hate people that are late. Don't be late. Be on time. It's a mark of God. Tip number two, put your time in. You know, in other words, you got to pay your dues. So I'll give you a scripture here. Exodus 20, verse 9 says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. 6 days, most people want a 5-day work week. But, you know, when, like I said, I'm 68. I have slowed down some. I'm still strong. I'm still rough and tough and hard to bluff. But I don't work like I did when I was young. I worked 7 days a week. I mean, I wasn't saved until 1999. But I worked. That's one thing I did do. I worked hard. And this says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Exodus 23:12, 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest. So I'm going to ask you a question, brothers and sisters. Are you accountable to God? You know, I knew a pastor that went to Cairo, Egypt. He was an engineer, and, you know, they're Muslims, Hindus over there, Hindus and Muslims. Anyway, I can't remember the guy's name, but let's just say Muhammad. So one day the man saw Muhammad and he says, Muhammad, you're not praying today. What's the deal? And he goes, well, it's cloudy outside, so God can't see me. That was his response. And so, you know, my question is, are you accountable to God? Because You know, many times we go behind closed doors, and if Jesus was with us, the things we're doing behind those closed doors, we wouldn't be doing if he was with us. But I'm telling you, just because you can't see him, don't mean he ain't there. He's there, and they're recording what you're doing, good and bad. And so, yes, the answer is yes, you are accountable to God. But many Christians, you're lukewarm, and the Lord is not pleased. Lukewarm. You got to change the way you do business. If that's you, change it. Now, here's your memory scripture again. These are for people that even if you're working hard, these are for you too. Because God's word is good for all of us. All of it. We don't get to pick and choose. It's not a smorgasbord. We don't get to eat the candy. We have to eat some spinach once in a while too. Amen. We got to eat the whole book. Colossians 3:23, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Didn't say with all your back, all your brawn, all your muscle, all your might, all your head. It says with all your heart, because that's what the Lord is looking at, is what's the intents of the heart. Work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Yeah, because bottom line, if we're believers and we do have a job, you know, we should be thanking the Lord that he gave us that job. And then we should be working as for the Lord. So for years, you know, I've been a handyman. And when they write me a check, I say, make it out to Young Construction. Or you can make it out to Lou Young. Same thing. I am Young Construction. I am that account on the IRS. Lou Young pays taxes to the Fed as Young Construction. So, but, you know, that's, if I give a check to somebody for pay and I sign my name to it, I go, here's your money, my name's on it, but God paid that. The money comes from God. I explain it to them. I tell them, we are working for God. And you got to have that attitude. And say, but Pastor Lou, I need food, I need clothes, I need money. Yes, and guess who else knows that? The Lord knows that too, amen. So let's look at this scripture. Matthew 6:26. Behold, or looky here, says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Now to me, people that are going like, I prayed, I'm waiting for God, and they use the scripture. To me, that's a cop-out. But we know the Lord takes care of all the birds, and it says he'll take care of you. But I'm going to make another statement here. God gives every bird his food, but he does not throw it into its nest. You have to go out and get it and earn it. Amen? God gives every bird his food, but he does not throw it into its nest. And that's where I come up with a saying that I have. Don't wait for God to drop a golden brick on your head, because it's not going to happen. He expects, you know, you need a job. You pray, Lord, give me a job. Then you better go put in some applications or go hit the pavement and, you know, get yourself in front of some people. Right now in America, I see signs everywhere. They can't find people that actually, yeah, they got work, they got jobs, but no, people go in and they can't keep the job because they really don't want to work. They just want a paycheck. So this is why if you get a job, you need to work hard. It's to the Lord. And I've never, ever been accused of being lazy when I work at a job. Because I worked hard. I was taught that way. And so if you haven't been taught that way, I'm sorry, but you can change your thinking and your heart and your attitude and begin to put your time in, as I say. Put your time in and begin to work hard. Outwork the other people. And like Daniel, have an excellent spirit. And you will rise to the top. And quickly, you will be noticed. Here's a scripture that says, Proverbs 20:4, the sluggard. We don't never like to think that we're a sluggard, but let's look at what it's saying. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, Therefore, he shall beg and harvest and have nothing. I got another testimony about this, you know. I got a son. He's in prison for the third time. And when we were in Iowa, you know, they get some cold weather. In fact, it gets so cold in January, I could take my four-wheel drive truck, drive to the lake, down the boat ramp, onto the lake, and out to the middle of the lake, park, get out, take my 8-inch ice auger, start drilling a hole in the ice, because it's 3 feet thick, skim off the ice, drop my little minnow down in there, and if the fish were biting, I'd catch like 80 crappie in an hour. And so it's cold, and the ice is thick. And so when I was in Iowa working for the builders, we would put decks up in the wintertime because they're selling houses 12 months out of the year. And we would go burn a pile of wood where we're going to drill a hole. And I'd take about 3 days. I'd start, for example, Monday, we'd set two fires. You're going to drill two post holes, set a fire, two fires in the morning, come back in the evening, dig them out. Go back, set a fire, come back in the morning, dig those out. You go down a foot, then the second time, 2 foot, and finally you get through 3 foot, and then you would break through. And frost footing in Iowa is 42 inches. So it took about 36 hours in the wintertime to get your post holes dug. And it's cold. In fact, you get so many clothes on that you know, if you drop your hammer, it's really hard to bend over and pick it up because you got insulated boots on, two pairs of socks, you got insulated underwear on, coveralls, face masks. I used to buy gloves by the dozen because if they get wet, I just change them out. And so, you know, I got 12 pairs of gloves in the truck. And I mean, I'm telling you, it was cold. Scarves. And I remember my boy, when he was out, bought him brand new boots, clothes, everything. He put it on. I mean, it was nice and warm, but he said, it's too cold. I'm not getting out of the truck. So that bears witness here. It says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore, he shall beg and harvest and have nothing. This scripture can stick to you. You know, we are not supposed to be lazy or make excuses. So in Texas, it's hot. Thank God I can sweat. You know what? It's also hot in Cambodia. Oh, my goodness. We melt, you know. And it's also hot in Honduras, you know. And I've been to Africa, to Equatorial Guinea. That one was right on the equator. And, man, it's like you're inside of an oven. But I'm just, you know, I can take the heat. God has given me a strong body that can process heat and cold. And so I drink a lot of water, and it just pours off of me. And then when I go back to the mission compound, I just take 3 or 4 gallons of water in a bucket and dump it right over my head. And that's how we take a shower. So, you know, I can take this stuff because the Lord has blessed me with good health. But I believe in divine health. I don't think when I get old I'm going to be sick. So that's just me. You can have it too. God's no respecter of person. I got so much more of this stuff, brothers and sisters. Maybe we can do some more on this in the future. But I think we're coming up here on the hour, so you probably need another guest on here. But if you've never heard this type of stuff before, I believe we don't have to be sick. We should also work hard. We don't have to be demon-possessed. We can have these things, the Bible says. And if you're not in that type of church, you need to tune in here because they probably don't have anything like that where you're at. And learn how to live in the blessing of the Lord. Amen. Amen, Shannon.
Amen. I'll tell you, this was a home run message for Jesus tonight. Powerful word. Powerful word. What shall we title this for the archive?
Well, I titled it work. Is it a dirty word?
Come back to your mic. You went a little far away.
Oh, yeah. Just had a cup of coffee.
That's okay.
A sip of coffee.
What was it? What was the title?
Work. Is it a dirty word?
No, it's not, folks. We are to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. We are to provide for our families. A man that does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. We're to occupy till Jesus returns. Work spiritually and work in the physical.
That's right.
I remember you mentioning 7 days a week. I used to work for the government, but it wasn't enough for me to get ahead. So I began to work in private security, and I remember I worked almost a second full-time job doing security.
Sure.
And we would go 7 days a week. In fact, there's a couple of years that are just a blur because every day I was on the job. But I tell you, it felt good to bring home the bacon.
Well, you did what you had to do to get the bills paid, and sometimes you just have to do it that way.
Absolutely. You know what, folks? This is a golden opportunity for us all. Jesus isn't coming back tomorrow. There's more work than he wants done. God is looking for a harvest. And irregardless of what is being telegraphed to us by the New World Order, you can't dwell on that. You know, I check in and get some updates so I can be alert. But we may have more time than we thought. And I know this. The Great Commission has never been rescinded. I know this. The Lord said, occupy till I come. Keep the faith till the end. Keep moving forward. I tell you, what you and Sister Suni have done with that 1 acre is inspiring.
It's green out here, man.
That is beautiful. When you were, when you first looked at it, it was quite a job. But you know what? You rolled up your sleeves, you got in there, and y'all turned it into a piece of paradise in Nevada, Texas. Now, I just saw the clock, and I am going to hold my comment because I'm out of time. But I want to ask you one more thing. How can a person make contact with you and support your ministry?
Okay, the website is whitehorseoutreach.com, and we are going to Cambodia for 3 weeks in about 5 weeks. And what do there? We do training and equipping. We lead people to salvation. We get them healed. We cast out demons. We see miracles. We go house to house with food evangelism. We support orphanages. We do crusades. So whitehorseoutreach.com. You can scroll down. There's a donate button. We take PayPal, and you can even mail me a check. And if you want to be part of this ministry, you can email me at whitehorseoutreach@yahoo.com. And you can even, if you're in the Plano Metroplex, you can come to Spirit of Prophecy Church, 2540 K Avenue, Plano, Texas, 9:30 a.m. Sunday training, 10:30 a.m. service. So that's how you can stay connected with us.
WhiteHorseOutreach.com. Folks, support the ministry. Brother Lou, we love you. And May is wide open. Take your time, and when you've got some dates for me, we'll lock them in for you. We'll see you soon.
Okay, God bless. Love you, brother.
Love you too, brother. God bless. Okay, folks, coming up next, Joseph Farrar. That was a powerful message from Pastor Lou. And what we'll do is get that up in the archive here in about an hour. Let me save and refresh. Stand by.